August 5, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. First Wednesday of August. And I guess that means summer's half over. Brother Matt, we're in Quentin Quarantino mode, so Brother Matt's still at Love Grotto, a couple miles south, Pleasure Point. But I am not totally man alone mode, because due to those genius software people in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Aaron, John, and Roke with me. You guys are in Fukuoka, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, good guess, huh? No, Jan Bart. We got to thank Jan Bart for the connect, because he's a bitchin' dude. And and he said you guys are too. So any bitchin' dude of a bitchin' dude is a bitchin' dude for me. Yeah, okay. I should tell people we start off the show with Goldsboro Express, John Coltrane, the Bahia record. And Born Shit Stirrers after that with Junes on Poppers. Minuteman style, or Wire style, very, very short. Now, Poppers, I remember in the, you know, I'm part of the Hollywood scene. That's funny to say, huh? From the late 70s. But Poppers was the kind of gay discos they used. It was to fix a heart attack. Amyl nitrate?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, same thing over. Because nowadays it's some kind of fucking jalapeno with fucking queso in it.
Jalapeno popper.
Yeah, I mean, we say Pedro, but I don't say jalapenos or tortillas or frijoles. I mean, that's fucking stupid. We do call the beach Cabrillo, though, but those are the only two words we fuck up. And even the Latin guys do it, too. I think it's a test to see if you've ever been here. So who wants to go first?
You go first, yeah.
Because what I want to do is go through a musical journey, right? So, John, you were telling me off air you're from a little north of Newcastle.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There's a great Humble Pie song called 30 Days in the Hole where they mention Newcastle. The beer, right? The brown stuff. What's your earliest musical? But I know Newcastle for fucking the Animals, right?
But Animals. Well, actually, my mother, she went on a blind date with one of the members from the Animals. He was Valentine, was he the guitar player?
Well, the bass man ended up managing Jimmy.
Right.
Did you know that? And then after him, Slade. Anyway, what's your earliest musical recollection, John?
Well, I grew up in, I had three older sisters and an older brother, and they all loved music. In the house, everyone loved music. And so from one room, I would hear Motown. One room, I would hear Queen, stuff like that. Another room would be like pop music, like Duran Duran and stuff, you know. And then from the brother's room, it would be like The Cure and The Smiths and stuff, you know. So I had a lot of different genres growing up, you know. And I think probably one of the earliest musical memories would be maybe like Live Aid, you know, because it was on TV and it was like all day long, you know. I think we all sat around and watched that. I was probably only about 5 years old. And then I remember a little bit later on, probably I was maybe around 10 years old. I in the street, I found two records in the street, 2 7-inches. I don't know if somebody dropped them off, they threw them away, you know. And one of them was Adam and the Ants, Ant Music. And the other one was Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. So I picked them up, I took them home, and I just wiped them down, and I listened to them, you know.
You know, I was talking about Hollywood. You know, Darby went to England.
Darby Trash.
Yeah, before, you know, he went away. And he told us the next big punk band was going to be this band, Adam Ant.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't thinking, but they were really good, you know.
Well, he had gotten a little heavy, you know, but he had a mohawk and he had Indian paint on, or Native American.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Because, by the way, it's a secret, but this ain't India. Columbus fucked up.
Well, I remember, like, I listened to both of those records, and I remember, like, Adam and the Ant, Ant Music, and the drums were so good, you know, like, that pounding drums, you know. And the Dire Straits one was like kind of like big guitar riffs, you know, and so like maybe like the combination of the two sort of like set me on the road for punk or something, you know. But Definitely like the adamant one more, you know.
So in the pad you grew up in,
yeah,
you're listening to your other people's music, but were there any instruments?
No, none. We didn't. Nobody played music.
Everybody's a listener, not a player.
Just a listener.
What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Nah, nothing, man. We used to do music as a, you know, we used to have a lesson, but I never joined any choirs or anything, no.
Okay, but it had it. You didn't just join. You know, because over here they've cut music out of a lot of fucking schools. It's stupid.
Well, I used to have a good relationship with my music teacher, like, because when I started listening to bands like Nirvana and, you know, stuff like in around 1993 or 4, you know, we used to give each other tapes, you know.
You and your teacher? Your teacher?
Yeah, that's right. But some of the songs would have, you know, they'd be like swearing and stuff, like cuss words and that. So the teacher would be like, don't tell anyone I gave it to you, you know.
Yeah, but that's still very cool, because usually there's a huge gap between the fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? I remember...
I mean, like, the teacher was wearing, like, Dr. Martens and stuff, you know, and it was like, you could tell they were cool, you know, but...
Okay, yeah. So what was the first gig you went and saw, John?
The first real gig, not just, like, local bands, the first real gig...
First gig, period.
Sorry?
First gig, period.
I can't remember, because my mother used to work in a pub, and there was always like local bands playing.
Great.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess those don't really count, because I was just sort of like there with her waiting for her to finish work. But they used to do like a lot of like, it was like kind of like mod bands, you know. They used to do jam covers and stuff, and more like cover bands really, you know. But there was a local band called the White Negroes, who I used to go and see a lot. They were kind of like, you know, like Stone Roses, that kind of thing, you know, like a British kind of, not Britpop, I sort of before Britpop, you know what I mean, but yeah.
So, I don't know. Guess who, what my first gig was?
Oh, fucking hell, man.
T-Rex.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was 14 cool. years old. Me and D Boone went and saw T Rex at the Long Beach Auditorium.
Was that when he was glam or before?
Well, what, 1973?
Maybe the glam stuff.
I thought before he was, he was kind of hippie before that, right? But that was Tyrannosaurus Rex. This was just. It would be like 2 minutes of the song on the record, and then he'd get on his knees and do Jimmy for 10 minutes with lead guitar. Yeah, it was really bizarre. But, you know, I really dug him. There was no merchandise yet, but I got a bootleg poster to be guys a couple blocks away for $2. First rock star poster on my bulkhead was Mark Bolan. So how did you get on the instrument that you're on?
Must have been the Sex Pistols, believe it or not. I remember, like, one day I was sitting around with my friend, and we had MTV on. You know when MTV used to play music, you know, and the Sex Pistols came on, and my friend said, John, you've got to watch this. It's the Sex Pistols. And I said, well, okay, is it good? Okay, put it on. Watched it. It was God Save the Queen. And as soon as I finished, I said to him, you know, I was like 14. I said, do people actually like this, you know? And then I was kind of like, it was an honest question. Like, do people actually fucking like this? But also I was kind of like getting confirmation because, you know, I'm 14, you know. Is it okay to like this? Because I fucking love it, you know. So, yeah, and then that was like, I was just in love with that. I fell in love with the Pistols, and I bought a guitar, and I couldn't play it, and I still can't, you know, but, you know, that's the spirit of the time.
Did you take lessons, or did you just try to learn learn off records or shit like that?
No, not at all. I've never had a lesson in my life. Never.
Okay. Did you start writing songs right away, or did you, like I said, learn off records?
Well, me and my mate who showed me, who got me into the Sex Pistols. We tried to do a band. Well, it was just me and him messing about, but we didn't really write anything. I think we were just doing Pistols covers, but we never...
So Steve Jones had a big influence on you.
Well, you know what? The thing is, though, I think he's a great guitar player, you know?
Yeah, he's actually a great cat, too. I got to be on his radio show once for, like, over 3 hours. He just kept, you know, spieling. And also, he had me bring my bass, and I did some Stooges with him, some Creedence, and I think Free song. Look, I want to play The Worm. You know, The Worm used to be here in the hardcore scene. It was the name of a dance.
Right.
Does the worm mean the dance over there? Like you fall on the ground and you...
I never heard that. We used to have the grapple and the pogo and...
Oh, of course the pogo.
Too much, too much. What you've just had on is a band called Born.
Well, for Pedro show, we heard the Worm from the Born Shitsters, and that ain't the Worm that I know. The Worm was some kind of like punk dance where you laid on the deck and just wiggled around and shit. Avoid people stomping your ass. And then my after that from Up the City, Too Much Too Late. Yeah, from they like to call it the former Yugoslavia, Leli with F-U-2. They sing in all the languages that was used over there. Cal Portoroz, they're Slovene. C, Vitamin C. Few, you know Fusan, right? From Osaka? She's from Aunt Sally. Aunt Sally was a Japanese punk band in the late 70s.
No.
She's like, you know, what do you call it? Like old school, huh? For Japan punk. And she's just got some new stuff out, too. Then Tatsuisa Yamamoto with A-. The Wild Rats, that's, I got to do some stuff with Ron Ashton, Stooges, for this movie, Velvet Goldmine. I'm not screwing around. That's Ronnie singing, too. Guided by Voices, Haircuts, Things. Bob Pollard, you know, I think third album this year. This motherfucker. One of them's a double album. Peter Caldwell, Damon Smith, after that, Reflections on some April 28th, number 6. This is some Dooley with stand-up basses. Petro Terriers. Ah, got to play with them in Newcastle at the Clooney, an old whiskey.
Oh, the Clooney.
Yeah, good pad. On and on. Bombers Prendon. Hell's Little Ransom Rock. These are guys early 80s DC scene making noise. I think 50 cassettes. DangerousMinds.net. They always turn you on to all these tiny little fucking bands. It wasn't just with the punk movement. There was shit like that even before. Mm. And then finally, Born Shitsters with John the Con. Not to be confused with Don the Con. So who's next? Rock?
I'll go next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earliest musical memory, please.
Earliest musical memory is probably my my brother playing guitar in the basement. He lived with us for a little while, and he had been in a punk band himself. But most of what he played was Pink Floyd and I don't know, Led Zeppelin covers and Doors covers and stuff. And I was such a little kid, I thought he wrote that stuff, so I, you know, thought he was a genius, but I would just listen, and eventually I got to hear some of the stuff that he actually did write, and I would just sit down there and listen to him playing guitar. That's probably it.
Did you do music at school? Like, I asked John about, you know, choir or marching band or shit like that.
Oh, well, I honestly, he was talking about pubs before, and my parents were in the Irish American community in the DC area, and I ended up Irish dancing and doing the whole Irish dancing, Irish singing, folk singing kind of thing from a fairly young age, and I played a little fiddle, a little tin whistle. Eventually I got into singing. Nothing serious.
What was the first record you bought yourself?
Run DMC, Raising Hell.
And what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was Faith No More in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Did you do the thing like after school with the basement, garage, bedroom band?
No, nothing like that. I didn't go to very many live shows until I moved here to Japan. I got into that stuff at a fairly late age after I came here.
But that's okay. Orson Welles said, "No wine before it's time."
There you go.
And you know, Joe Baeza in Saccharine Trust started guitar at 28.
Started at 28. Okay.
And Vincent only painted the last 10 years of his life.
Well, that there you go.
Not everybody's got to be a little kid prodigy. You know what I mean? It comes when it comes. I'm just curious because everybody's music journey is a little different, you know?
Yeah.
And so what drew you to – yeah, I didn't ask John this, but what drew you to Japan?
Oh, there was this election in America in 2005 that was really kind of disillusioning, and I had been to Japan once before, and I thought, you know, it seems like it might be a good place to live, so I ended up being able to make my way over here.
So, my experience, it's Live House, so maybe you didn't see a lot of gigs in the U.S., but you went to Live House?
Oh, my! once I came here is really when I started I was such an introvert in the U.S. But when I came here, I answered a classified ad to be in a band, not this band, different band. I started going to live shows, live houses, and it's all happened essentially within the last 10 years or so for me.
That's really interesting. Really, we'll get into how the band got together, but first we got to get to you, Aaron. Sorry for your laugh, but you know,
no problem.
Beauty before age, probably. Your oldest?
I'm not the oldest.
You're not. Oh, okay.
My oldest recollection. Probably from my dad's shop. My dad's a tattoo artist, and he was always playing oldies in his shop.
Ah.
So I was probably listening to Little Richard and stuff, which was probably bizarre for kids my age. But and we were in Austin, Texas, and he was also tattooing like local musicians around the area. So I would actually meet people like Butthole Surfers, not knowing who they were.
Gibby Paul. And,
I met Jeff Pincus from the Butthole Surfers when I was a kid.
Yeah, he's the bass player later on. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was like a family friend. So I was around a lot of musicians, but I didn't really listen to their music. It was mostly just stuff from my dad's shop.
Yeah. Well, was your pop just a listener, or did he play too?
Just a listener.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no instruments in the pad where you grew up?
Not until I was like 12, maybe. There's an electric piano sitting around. But nobody played it.
Did you? You didn't do music in school?
I did. I started in middle school. I started playing saxophone.
Ah, bitchin'.
And yeah, but before that, I
alto,
I
tenor,
yeah,
alto.
Started an alto, yeah. But then moved on to barry and tenor, and I did them all. Soprano. I was really into it. I was really into jazz.
John Coltrane.
So. Yeah.
He went from alto to tenor to soprano.
Yeah. Different keys. It's kind of confusing, yeah.
Yeah, but the fingering's the same, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I heard you can go from clarinet to sax, but to go from sax to clarinet is hard because they got the holes.
Yeah, I was terrible at it. My teacher kept trying to make me do that, and I couldn't do it. It felt like a leaky saxophone. Couldn't get it.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, so I got to continue my interrogation of you in the next hour. People, it's August 5, 2020, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, the Shitsters. Born Shitsters. Hold tight for hour two. August 5, 2020, it's second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. got the infection. Locked himself in his room 3 weeks for everybody's protection. He was lost, now he's found. They pulled him out of the sound. If you think you need a reason, a wounded mind or a sacrifice day, it's not my privilege or function to say. We can't know.
Got the world, got the time. Run away, run away, run away, why? Thank you. You're one to talk, you bloodless, money-grubbing freak.
Lester, you have such hostility in you!
Do you mind? I'm trying to work out here. Unless you want to spot me.
Lester, you will not get away with this. You can be sure of that.
Live for Pedro's show, laughing about song titles here. We started the second hour off with Mark Safe Pricks from the Born Shit Stirrers, then James Rocket featuring Jennifer Coates with Opening Up, some live Husker Du, Let's Go Die, Dix, speaking of Austin, No Fucking War, Phasma, here's some stuff from Japan, Patterns, Saito Koji, Sunset, You, Murakami, Poro Poro, and then from over here, Stay Angry, Wire Lines, and Born Shitsters, Fukuoka. The tide is high, and so am I. Okay, continue on there, Aaron. What did you you know, there's an electric keyboard. So that's the first thing you started, besides the sax. Now, did you do the sax outside of school? Did you do it in people's band?
I wanted to play jazz.
You know, there's a story about Little Richard. Little Richard throwing a sax, you know, it was time for the solo, and he threw this guy off a stage, 20-foot stage, broke both his legs. Not on purpose. Whoa! <Man. laughs> So go ahead. Wild, I'm sorry.
I just sat down at the piano before I started school that year to start saxophone, and I just started teaching myself how to read music. I don't know what got into me. I just really wanted to learn it.
Yeah.
And but the funny thing is, once when I learned how to read music, I kind of threw it away and just started playing by ear, and I felt like I was a better musician after that. But I really wanted to play jazz, but to do that, I had to join the classical groups and the marching bands and all that.
Ah, so you did do that stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the marching band, you did sax, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard it's kind of easy because you got both hands and the big mouthpiece. The shit, French horn and trumpet, I heard was hard with the marching because the little mouthpieces.
Yeah.
What about after school? Did you go to college for music?
Yeah, I think that's how they let me in. My grades weren't that great, so the School of Music actually let me in. And I had a scholarship for it, but after my first semester, I was pretty burnt out on it. I didn't like the culture around it, and I don't know. I just felt like to play music, I didn't need a piece of paper to prove that I could play music. And I don't know. I was playing in the jazz band in that school, and it was really competitive. And I just wanted to have fun. So
can I ask you that? Can I ask you this? Because of my experience having people on the show talk about, it seems like the plan is to produce more teachers.
Yeah, that's what I felt like.
And so and a lot of people kind of bum on that.
It's okay. I mean,
no, maybe they don't want to be a teacher. They want to play music for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to play.
I'm not against teachers. I'm not against teachers. Yeah,
I just wanted to play, and it was super competitive, and I just wanted to have fun with people, play with people. And the thing was...
I think I know what you're talking about. Like cutting. Like they use John Coltrane's giant steps. Who can play it the fastest, right? It's like sports. Yeah, yeah. It's bullshit.
I would get kicked out. Yeah, yeah. I would get benched or somebody would challenge me. And I just kind of lost interest in it. But the dorm I was staying in was a music hall dorm. And, you know, every room there would be some guys jamming or playing some weird instruments and... all day of the week, and that was a lot more fun, just hanging out at the dorm and jamming with people. So,
did you make a band with those guys?
Tried to, but we're so busy with school, and nothing ever got off the ground really until after college.
Okay. Here, I want to play. We'll pick up after that. Look, ma'am, no bands.
We might as well leave him with a little blues, I guess, or something. Right. Let's see. I'd like to do T for Texas, but I don't know if I can yodel this morning.
Before you get into that, just thank you very much for coming.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Okay, Pete Lochner and the Original Wolverines. All right.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of T for Texas. This is a Jimmy Rogers song, a genuine Jimmy Rogers song. He was the blue yodeler, the yodeling brakeman. He died of tuberculosis in 1938 and 1949 or something. Wrote a hell of a lot of good songs. In fact, he invented country music. T for Texas. T for Tennessee. Tennessee. Well, it's tea for Thelma. That woman made a fool out of me. The old lady. Well, if you don't want me, mama, hey, you sure don't have to stop. Thank you.
My house, I'll be ready when they return. before I kick it all over. Look. We talked about this. Yes, we did. A relationship, any kind of relationship, is built on openness and honesty. What I need from you is to open your mouth and talk to me. Otherwise, there's no way for me to know what you want from me, and no way I can fulfill your needs. So those times you're feeling mad because I can't read your mind, then you should really consider that you share some responsibility too. I said... Let your fucking bitches get on over your fucking mouth, and I won't know what you fucking want. And I can't fucking do the thing she fucking won't reach you. So when you're feeling fucking bad because I can't read your fucking mind, then you can fucking well on God that it's all your own fucking fault.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, look, ma'am, or mom. Fuck. Sorry. No bands. Okay. Boring shit stirs. After that, T for Texas from Peter Lochner from the old Cleveland scene. Some more. It was this compilation, Summertime something, that I got some of this stuff from. Sane Masayuki with Chafe. Like, I don't know anybody here would call a tune Chafe. But have you ever been fucking Chafe? Man. So I had to wear a hot water bottle on one of my balls blew up the size of grapefruit. I got fucking chafed.
That's nice.
Like old resources with absent air. God damn. What a word. A little Greek, a little Latin. Cookie with water erosion. Torres with reminiscence. And then back to some U.S. stuff. Bloodstained, drained cows from New Mexico. This is Greg Turner, who wrote in Cree Magazine and started a band called Angry Samoans. Hantavirus, Deer Mouse Blues. Now, Hantavirus might be related to this fucking COVID bullshit. Chicoraros from Barcelona, the Wild Boys with Farido. And finally, Born Shit Stirs with Passive Aggressive 2. I guess it's a second.
Yep.
Installment. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Aaron, what happened? How did you finally get into bands and play some rock and roll?
Well, my uncle made a guitar for me when I was a teenager in high school out of his coffee table from his house. And I had a guitar for a few years, and after meeting people in that dorm in college, I kind of got together some people. We made a band in the college town for about a year, recorded some stuff. And, then I actually came to Japan for a year just to give it a try. And then I came back to Portland. And I was in a couple bands in Portland. Did the tour thing up and down the West Coast for a few years.
You didn't want to do sax or keyboard? You wanted
to... No, I kind of... was really into guitar by college. After my first semester, I was
How did you
really
learn?
Serious.
How did you learn, Aaron? Did you take lessons, or you just figured it out?
I was borrowing my friend's guitars in high school, before I even had a guitar, and then I...
Oh, okay.
When I finally had a guitar, I was just obsessed with it, and I would just teach myself. Because I already knew how to read music and how to make chords, so I just kind of make stuff up, too. Okay. And also, I just got obsessed with it, and it just became, like, a bigger passion.
What about composing? What about writing songs? Did you start that early?
Yeah, but none of them were any good.
Well, you got to start somewhere,
try.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Shakespeare, right? The first two poems, Adonis and shit. Like, there's no fuck-ups. How do you do that? How's your first shit the best? That's why that guy, that Shakespeare guy, didn't actually write it, in my opinion. But, so you go to Japan the second time. What, do you start playing with people there?
Not right away, because it's difficult being a foreigner, or a gaijin, as we say.
Gaijin.
It's hard to find members that are willing to put up with your my lousy Japanese. My Japanese isn't great, so.
I bet you find other baka gaijins, right?
I play with other gaijins, but also I had some Japanese friends, and
I gotta tell you, Eric, the same thing happens in Europe. A lot of the foreigners I know that live in, you know, because EU, you can live in each other's country, right? And they gravitate to other Auslanders and stuff.
Yeah, the problem was when my first band that I tried to put together here, it was all gaijins, and it just doesn't work. It implodes because eventually somebody moves back home, or, you know, so. This group's different because we've all been here for a long time, and you know, me and John, we're all married, so nobody's leaving anytime soon.
Yeah.
When we talk again, I want to get into how this band actually came together. But basically, you went back and stayed.
Yeah, I met a girl in college, and we dated for a while, then we broke up for a few years, and we got back together, and she convinced me to come over here with her, so.
That happens. Okay.
Yeah, it does.
We're at the end of second hour, August 5, 2020, edition Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 5, 2020, it's the third hour of Watt for Pedro Show.
Some of us still have blood pumping through our veins. Really? Well, I'm the only one who seems to be doing anything about it.
Lester, I refuse to live like this. This is not a marriage.
This hasn't been a marriage for years. But you were happy as long as I kept my mouth shut. Guess what? I've changed. And the new me, wax off when he feels for me. Because you're obviously not going to help me out in that department.
Oh, I see. You think you're the only one who's sexually frustrated.
I'm not? Well then, come on, baby. I'm ready.
Don't you mess with me, mister. I will divorce you so fast it'll make your head spin.
On what grounds? I'm not a drunk. I don't fuck other women. I don't mistreat you. I've never hit you. I don't even try to touch you. Since you made it so abundantly clear just how unnecessary you consider me to be. But I did support you. Congratulations. And some people might think that entitles me to have a full story. So, turn on the light and come back to bed, okay?
Yeah. flowers too. Wouldn't that be lovely? Be closer than we are. Be closer than we are. And we are.
Tolik zkázy, tolik smrt. Někteří nás párovali, ale my bychom jenom poslouchali. Nevěřili bychom, neokusně věřte, že to bylo možné. Nechci smrt se přibyt, představit si to nejvící.
formed in 2016 and championed by punk rock Blink-182 radio presenter Pete Troman, the Yorkshire Ripper, born Shitstirrers, and an abrasive often John Canny sing with famous live punk rock band from Fukuoka, Japan. The Jap's Eye the Mushroom, released through Sunderland, go on Makamuva! Based DIY record label, Celio Ball Records, made the money, ka-ching! And label mates with Zero Negative Shite! On the God, Masterface, and many more.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with the Born Shitstirrers, Kurosaki, which is John's in-law's hometown. Not the fucking anime, manga, Game Boy shit. So watch out when you make that Google search, people. Crane after that with Closer Than We Are. Patrick Butler, he had a band called Unstoppable. I think he's teaching at Cal State Long Beach. Vantage Point. David Gerard, I think he did this in upstate New York, Elusive Dreaming. And Quack Like a Duck, Goat and Your Mom by the Born Shitstirrers. So now I gotta know the story. How did the Born Shitstirrers get together there, Aaron? Rock, John?
It just, you know what, it was me and the old bass player, this guy from Scotland. And we were just, you know, I had this little micro beer, like a little four-track thing, you know, I had. And we used to write these songs together, and they have these, it's got these built-in drums, you know, and they're like 30-second long, you know, and I think you're supposed to connect them all together to make a big, like, make a song out of these drum loops, you know, but we would just, like, use them one only.
Oh, they're little parts. Yeah, I've seen that. Drum drops. Is the famous one. Yeah.
Yeah, and we would we just put the tempo right up, so like these parts would become like 18 seconds long, you know. So we just make it. The songs would just be 18 seconds long because we didn't know how to change it, you know. And so that's we just started writing songs, and that's how it started. And then eventually we took it into a studio and made it into a real band, you know.
Then how did you get these two?
Sorry?
How did you get Rock and Aaron? The original bass player leave?
No, he stayed in for a while. We had to get Aaron because none of us could do anything, right? He's the only person that can play guitar either, you know?
He's the only competent one, really.
So I said to him, hey, you want to record us, you know? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll record it, you know? We went to the studio and it was just a rehearsal room, and he mic'd everything up and recorded it all himself. And then we were so drunk we couldn't even play the songs, you know. And he's like, "Oh fuck, I'll fucking play the guitar." It was really sketchy, you know.
So me, I just scream. So I was over at John's place one time, we were just making up songs, and he said, "Hey, let's see what it sounds like if you scream." So I did, and sounded like bloody murder, so he was like, okay, we can use that, and that's how I got into it.
But Rock, this wasn't the ad that you answered, was it?
No, that was in another band that didn't really, we practiced a lot, but we didn't really do much. We played a few live shows, but that was how I met John. As he came to this show. I was the token gaijin lead singer of a basically a Minor Threat Black Flag ripoff band, just not having any idea what I was doing, but just having fun, and they didn't care you know who the singer was or what nationality, as long as they could, you know, yell in English. And I met John, and he knew pretty much everybody, and that's how I met everybody else in the Fukuoka music scene.
What was the first shitster gig with all three of you, like?
That's for a while. We didn't think we were going to do gigs for a long while. We thought we were just going to do studio stuff and DIY CDs. What was our first gig?
It was a Graph. That's the one that we recorded and put on that CD.
Graph. That's the live one.
they recorded through the mixing board, and eventually it came out on a compilation CD.
Oh, yeah.
And
man, that's balls out to put your first gig out. I think Jimmy. Jimmy did that with Band of Gypsies, and the Urinals did it with a dorm tape at UCLA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you, John. Look, I want to play Smash Your Smartphone.
And our life. Here I stand. Задрожай! Задрожай! Задрожай, не ты! Задрожай! Thank you.
nobody quite knows which drink it is that takes him over the edge of being merely a social, hearty, laughing drinker into a morose and hungover, wretched creature who shakes and creaks and sweats and has nightmares and is always November and it's raining and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and there's nowhere to go and you reach out for a cigarette and smoke and think of all the horrible things you've done in your life and all the shame you've endured and suffered and the shame you gave other people and all the wrongs you've done other people. I don't know whether alcoholics can put it quite as eloquently as that usually. They just say, I just stared out of the window for 2 years.
One thing about my buddy Richie, who has a disease, but it's an interesting disease he has. He has the disease of alcoholism, and he came to me, you know, and he told me, and I like to look. I'm the kind of guy who likes to look at the bright side of things, you know. So I told him, I said, Richie, it's true that you have a disease and everything, but I think you got the best one.
Wow, for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Smash your smartphone. The Born Shit Stirs. After that was the Moose Heart Faith Stellar Groove Band with Temple Departure. After that, Funk and Lassies, number one. That's Shinog Zuba, Black Tooth, the great bass man from Serbia. He goes back to the Yugo days, like 80s. Charlotte Akorvada and Disciplina Kichma. He's an incredible cat. But he played guitar on this. It was like a soundtrack to a movie and like those five big funk jams. Funk, F-A-N-K, that's how Serbsky say funk, huh? So, yeah, cool, yeah. You know, and he's still getting better from that stroke and stuff. He's at his sister's. Beautiful guy, man. I got to spend some time with him. Yeah, he plays like Jimmy, but bass through Wow Wow and shit. That's why his bands never have guitar. Maybe that's why he did guitar for this shit. And then finally, Alcohol Excuse. Born Shit Stirs. So what's the next plan? Is there gigs going on over there now? No. It's like here, right?
No.
I did a gig.
But not for us.
Not for us.
I did a gig 2 weeks ago, and it was kind of nerve-wracking because, one, we were rusty. With my other band, I had another band called Godzilla Snacks,
I've played some of that on the show. I've played Godzilla Snacks on the show because of Jan Bart.
Yeah, I remember that. Thanks for that. Yeah, I played one show just to help a local venue owner, it's a friend of mine, get some money in there because you know business is hurting. But it's a little nerve-wracking because some of the people weren't wearing masks and, you know, it was actually pretty crowded. But life's fairly normal compared to the States over here.
I'm scared of that word normal.
I understand
healthy or people being decent to each other, but fucking normal. I mean, 1932, you know where.
That's a good point.
That word just makes me bristle up. But plans for the shitsters?
We got another album worth of music. We just a little nervous getting together right now to record
right.
it.
Yeah.
What about trading files? You do that shit? That's the way I've been doing the last 5 months.
Yeah, that's phase we're in right now.
Yeah. But we like to do the drums and one take a guitar live usually, so.
Yeah, I
know. We usually
need
three of us in a room.
Yeah, but you know, I think it comes from us having remote controls for television. You just think just because you push the button, things should fucking happen. That it always reminds me to think of this situation. You're out in the middle of the fucking ocean with a sailboat. Can you tell the wind which way to blow? Well, you can try. So you know what I mean? We got to deal with this fucking thing. I have some buddies out in the desert here, Raquel and Jared, and a band called Galextasy. They made 8 albums in the last 5 months.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, I think we're doing a lot of songwriting. There's this next stage that we usually get into where we get together, we do a great deal of drinking and hash stuff out and make, next drafts of the songs, and we're kind of stuck not being able to do that. But you never know with Zoom and Skype what we might be able to pull off.
Won't use Zoom. Fuck those people. But no, I like to improvise, right, and deal with the sitch. I mean, you know what I mean? Desperate times call for desperate people. I don't know what the fuck.
Sure.
But just to lay down or sit on your hands, I think, is a little too defeatist. And I didn't mean to put you on the hot seat or anything. You know,
no,
on the Watt for Pedro show, there's no...
On
the Watt for Pedro show, there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
That's good, because we're all kind of sleepy here. It's okay. The middle of the night.
Yeah, I know. You guys, what, 16 or 17 hours ahead of San Pedro?
We're pretty far ahead, yeah, but this is
I can't remember, because you guys don't do the daylight savings time.
No.
So it might be 16 hours right now. So any advice to people just starting bands?
Don't be worried. If we can do it, anybody can.
Aaron?
Good, yeah.
Aaron?
I think do it for the love of it. You know, don't be motivated by anything else. You know, if you want to do it, do it.
I really thank you guys for being on. Big honor to have you on. People, it's been August 5, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.